right, guys, welcome back to the 87th episode of the 443 podcast, coming to you from North Phoenix in the dying embers of the Champions League final. As we record, we gave up because PSG 3, Inter Milan 0.
And it is only the 70th minute, so still 20 minutes left in the game. But at this point of the game, this game's all locked up. Inter, just to jump right into it, Inter just seem like they haven't woken up yet. And it's now 70 minutes into the game, and it looks like they still haven't woken up. But Matt, what have you seen so far from this PSG side that has you so impressed?
They have this pace that I've seen other teams do, but they just do it for longer. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. Like, that first goal was like an Arsene Wenger, Pep Guardiola wet dream of a goal.
It seems like every goal they score is just perfectly placed passes from one person to another. And the pace that you're talking about is because they have three wingers across their front line instead of having a true number nine. Mm-hmm. So they just rotate Kvaratskhelia, Usman, and Douay as their rotating striker. And it's so hard for a team like Inter, who have played three strong center backs, to keep up with the pace of a team like that. Even with the athleticism of Barella right in front of them, they're just getting absolutely torn apart right now. But right now, the star of the show is Désiré Doué. He's got a brace, a goal in the 20th minute, and in the 63rd minute, he also assisted Hakimi for the first goal in the 12th minute. So he's got a hat trick of goals and assists. I think he's going to be walking away with the player of the match. Matt,
jeez.
As a Arsenal fan who lost to this PSG team and is coming to see this team into fruition, just sort of to tie it to our Premier League allegiances here, you got any messages for your Arsenal fans that continue to call this season a failure?
We lost 3-1 to probably the best team in the world right now. But there ain't much shame in it. This is kind of what I was, like we discussed earlier, I was hoping Inter would win it because they had that City coronation game where it just seemed like everything went against them. But it's hard to deny when you're watching greatness, man. And when other teams talk about, like, oh, we won a trophy, I'm like, other than Crystal Palace, and Newcastle, I don't think many of these trophies were given against the best teams.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you beat Liverpool and you beat Manchester City, I give you bragging rights. You beat Man U and
Real Betis.
I meant to disrespect, because Real Betis are at least a decent side in Spain.
But this always brings me back to the point, Matt, and just to sort of, we'll get back to the game momentarily, but I got to vent a little bit.
Oh, is this on the entitled fans?
Yes, but also to the fact that, like, I see a lot of La Liga fans on the ESPN side, because ESPN is the primary coverage for the La Liga in America. There's these dull La Liga fans who think that their league is so much better than the Prem, and it's just a silly thing to say, because you guys have super high top-end talent with your big three of Atletico, Real, and Barcelona. You throw in Sevilla, historically at least. And then this Betis side, who's been pretty good.
Did you say Atletico?
Yeah.
Babel?
Yeah. Yeah, and Atletico Babel as well. Sorry, I did not mention them.
You have to include both Atleticos.
Yes. My apologies to Nico Williams and Inaki Williams. Please do not come for me. But what I will say, yes, you guys have great.
Especially you have to include Atletico Bilbao, because they only do with Basque players. Yeah. I mean, that's like, their success is just like, what's the opposite of an asterisk?
Yeah.
Like a handcuff? Like, or they're one hand tied behind their back.
Exactly. So you guys have great top end talent, but to compare it to the Premier League is just night and day. You have a team that finished, you have two teams who finished in 16th
and
17th place in their respective Premier League.
Well, sorry, Manchester United finished 15th. Remember, they won Villa.
You're right. My bad. Sorry, West
Bottom
Ham.
Bottom half of table.
Yes. You have them winning a Europa League championship versus over your teams. And then you have them, Real Betis, getting absolutely destroyed in the second half, getting four goals on their head tops in the second half alone. You can't compare the size of the Premier League to the Liga, because it's not comparable outside of the top end talent.
Let me tell you a story. I've been to see both leagues play. Mm-hmm. So we'll say my first game was West Brom versus Crystal Palace in South London. That was my first Premier League game. My first La Liga game was Sevilla traveling to play Espanyol.
One second.
Yes, sir.
Kvaratskhelia has just made it 4-0. Continue.
Okay. both of these tables you consider to be mid-table clubs. You know, yep. West Brom relegation fodder, Espanyol relegation fodder, but Sevilla, solid mid-upper-middle table team, same as a Crystal, similar to a Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace was sold out. Half of Espanyol's stadium was full. Both seen on a Sunday, mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon games. So, like, I'm going to be honest with you, like, when I go think of the leagues I've seen, I mean, La Liga is the third because the Argentinian league is very intense yeah. and the fans are insane. Like, I know in terms of competition that it's a better league, but maybe I need to go see a Barcelona or yeah. a Real Sociedad or somebody else next time I go, because I do want to go see Real Sociedad. But, yeah, the La Liga would probably fall my third in my favorite leagues.
Exactly. And it just like, yeah, and I know, I guess historically La Liga has been a better league than the Prem. The Prem really kicked off in the last 25 years.
But here's the problem that I see with La Liga, this revenue sharing to give more money to
the two top teams.
Two top teams. Then you look at what Atletico Madrid is able to do with the limited resources they have. It's insanity.
It is borderline corrupt what the La Liga does in terms of the funding. They basically force Barcelona and Real Madrid to play each other in the Copa del Rey every single year in the Saudis. Not in Spain. Even though it's a Spain Copa del Rey, they play it in the Saudis. I don't
you
know.
You mean Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, sorry. Not Saudi League or anything.
Yeah, I was like,
Saudi,
what are you?
Sorry, Saudi Arabia, the country. They play their Copa del Rey final there every year now for money. And it's basically, if you win that, majority of that money goes to those top two teams. It bewilders me, Matt. It bewilders me.
All right. But back to your topic here. We've gone off the rails.
So just into the game itself, I don't think they're comparable. With the way PSG has performed this season, they are undoubtedly the best team in football.
Oh, real quick, my dad sent me a text. Where'd it go? Paris is crushing Milan in Champions League finals.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd.
That was awesome.
But this PSG team is special. Luis Enrique, I did not think he was the manager to take them to the Champions League final, honestly. But with the way he's played and formatted this team, they're not even a great like team on paper.
Mm-hmm.
They have so like they have four or five. They have three or four superstars. Right.
So of these teams, I've seen Paris Saint Germain play three times this year. Mm-hmm. He deserves coach of the season off of what I saw that first iteration of PSG this season with all the injuries.
Yep.
And what we saw just recently and then today.
100%.
Night and freaking day.
Yeah.
Like, that is a turnaround, man. That's like, I know that you can't compare it to Major League because they're not scrubs, yeah. but like, I was like, what? Like, I remember
just
watching.
Just a bit outside.
You and me were talking on text the day that Arsenal beat them 2-0 in the Champions League group stages or table stage, whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
And I remember going, you were saying, like, oh, PSG is going to be so good this year, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, watching the game, I was like, an injured Arsenal just dismantled them 2-0. Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the game before the Villa game. I was like, oh.
Yeah, this team's, oh, kinda, yeah, this my. Team's a little crazy.
And then I watched the Arsenal. I was thinking, Arsenal are going to be lucky if they get the penalties in this game. I mean, like, they're going to be lucky.
Because
they attack with the speed that Premier League teams do, but they do it for, instead of doing it for like maybe 15 minutes here, 15 minutes, there's 25 minutes.
Yeah. They're just more conditioned, it seems like, than these other teams are at this in the final third of the field. But
and it's like they have Neuralink chips in the forwards' heads the way they move. It's just like they know exactly where to be. They're so well-drilled and conditioned. It's like they're a hive mentality.
And we talk about their attacks.
They're like the Borg.
You're right. But we talk about their attacks so much because their wingbacks make their attacks so good as well with Nuno Mendes and Hakimi. But they have a force field of a goalkeeper who I feel like has gone under the rug over the last couple of weeks because of how good their attack has been. He has single-handedly kept their defense alive. Like, their defense has not been that good, especially against you guys.
Yeah.
I'd say seven
to ten chances.
And I wouldn't even
seven of those were great.
Yeah.
3 to 4 were borderline.
And I'd say those seven chances, those are 1.0 XG goals.
Like, he ripped Saka's soul out of his body on one of those, man.
That's what I'm saying. And
like, I'm pretty sure the reason that Arsenal's pursuing that goalkeeper out of Espanyol, Juan Garcia, is because he saw what Donnarumma did to his team.
They're trying to find the next
one. I mean, I know they were linked to him last year, but I think that the interest is still there. Instead of going to get somebody like a Kepa for $5 million, just to fill in a body in your backup goalkeeper, Kepa for a year.
Do you think
honestly, just a transfer thing here? I would go to Espanyol to approach him with this. I would buy Kepa for $5 million, and I would approach him and go, "Can we get this guy Chelsea? For $15 million?" Or go to Espanyol for this João Garcia guy.
Oh, you said Kepa again.
No, we get Kepa to fill the spot for a year.
Oh, gotcha.
And then we go to Espanyol and say, "Hey guys, we'll give you 15 for him, but we're going to let you use him next year in La Liga. You can keep him for a year. Yeah. We'll keep Kepa."
Basically, then, what Liverpool did with Mamos Develi or whatever the dude's name is.
The Georgian guy.
Yes, who is a freaking
monster. Yeah, do that. Say, "Hey, we understand that you guys want this, but how about we give we'll pay his wages. We'll give him to you as a free spot in your thing. We'll pay his wages. We'll pay him what we're going to pay him. You don't owe us anything. Just give us to him for 15. You guys can keep him for the next year."
Yeah.
We'll put in a clause that if both our goalkeepers are injured on the last day of January, we can take him back, but that's it. I think that would solve your problems. You get two goalkeepers for 20 mil, and if you lose Raya over the summer or next year, you got this João Garcia guy to make him up.
Congratulations to PSG. I want to talk about Inter really quickly.
They just did not look like they were in it, man.
Yeah, and watching them over the last several weeks from the Italian Coppa final that they have and the league overall, they just look tired. And I think playing in...
They're beat up, man.
And if you think about it, it's much like an NBA team where if you go deep in the playoffs every single year, it's going to create fatigue, man. And I think that fatigue has finally caught up to him, unfortunately.
The stat I love from the NBA is that if you had another player drafted with LeBron, who was still in the league, and he was on a team like the Timberwolves, who never made the playoffs, or maybe made it like one series here, one series there, LeBron James has played two more NBA seasons worth of games than that guy. This stat was made the year he moved to the Lakers. It was from 2020.
Yeah.
But think about that. Like, if another guy was drafted with him and they were still playing and he played for a team that had very minimal playoff involvement, like a Timberwolves or a Charlotte Hornets, that he would have had two more seasons on this guy in terms of games play total.
100%.
And he has played onwards now four more years. This is the Inter team where they are constantly in... deep in the Champions League, constantly in the Italiano final.
They made it to the semifinals of the Champions League last year, then the final the year before, made it to both Coppa Italia finals, and also went down and won the league the last two seasons over a span of 38
games. And the average age
of
their team is 30 years old.
Yeah. And with Inzaghi, what makes that team so good is because they can rotate 11 in and 11 out, but with that, you don't really have a consistency of a top-quality team on the pitch, which is what they're experiencing right now, where they're just getting overrun by this PSG team that is just like a well-oiled machine right now. So, again, credit to PSG. Matt, do you have any sort of final thoughts? This was honestly, I wish we had more thoughts on this game, but it was a 4-0 beatdown, guys.
Yeah, it might be five before we end the show.
I'd rather talk about the carne asada burrito that I ate. Well,
shout out to our sponsor, Los Taquitos. Three locations in Phoenix. One in Phoenix, one in Mesa, and I think the other one's in Gilbert.
And guy, by the way, we are not sponsored by Los Taquitos, but we did pay for this meal and it was fantastic. So we don't want to get sued by Los Taquitos, please. We are just making a joke. You guys got great food. But credit
to PSG.
Phenomenal
food for a good price.
Now, before we get into transfer rumors, Matt.
Very underrated. They had good Pico de Gallo. It's easy to mess up Pico.
Yes. You can make Pico in a very basic way, and then there's like a very luxurious Mexican way, and they did it the right way.
Yes, they did it the right way. Not that crap you get from like a Safeway in the little plastic tub where it doesn't have any flavor
and
at all.
There's just juice just pouring out of it. It's not how you do Pico.
No. All right, but so you asked me a stoppage time on the scout, and I'm having a hard time thinking about this. So
we'll go by position by position. Okay. So we're going to do to end our Premier League season, this is the line in the cannon at the end of the day. Yeah. We're going to do a combined Chelsea-Arsenal only with the season that happened, overall performances. So, for example, I don't think we can stick Kai up top because he didn't play most of the season. I don't even think we could put Nico Jackson up top because he was out for several weeks in the season. So we'll have to think about this, and I want this to be a neutral thing. Yeah. So we'll start at the goalkeeper position.
I got to give it to Raya.
100% it is David Raya. Bob Sanchez, actually impressed me towards the end of the season.
He's improving, but at the start, he was just like a freaking paper cup with holes in the bottom.
Exactly. A lot of errors in the first half of the season.
He was not, the only reason he wasn't talked about more is because Onana exists.
Yes. Ooh, na-na-na! Shout out my brother.
What's my name?
into the right back position. Now, you guys have the option of Timber, White, and...
So
Tommy.
I really enjoy Timber this season. I know your guys is left back. Who's your right back?
So we got also two options. We got Malo Gusto or Rhys James. Rhys James did not play enough games, and I don't think Malo Gusto performed to the level over
so
the
when
Rhys
plays, if Rhys played as much as Timber, I would probably give it to Rhys. But I think just based off of the fact that the guy came off an ACL tear and was forced because of his other teammates being injured to play all those games, I think I have to give it to Timber
100%. 100%. I will say, though, the last month of Rhys James has me a little bit nostalgia-based. I'm worried that he's going to get injured again because he's looking like his old self. I'm scaredly excited for what Rhys James is doing.
So I was explaining to Tom how these season tournaments work, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Club World Cups. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what scares me about your team and City's team is you're not getting any rest.
Yeah, dude. We better not go
Arsenal
on a
preseason
thing.
Both get rest.
Just go home, Chelsea, after the Club World Cup. Please just go home and just chill, please.
Yeah, just put your legs up, get those electrodes on.
Don't go to Asia. Don't come back to America for a preseason tour. Just stay in your homes. Sorry, continue.
But yeah, I have to give it to Timber just based off that.
Okay.
I'm already going to say this. I'm rooting for Cucurella for left back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like we're too Arsenal-centric here.
Got you. Well, I think the defense, I think you have to majority give it to Arsenal just because you guys do have a great defense. So let me build this out. We have Raya, and then we have Timber. So we have right center back. I think we do have to give that to Saliba, best right center back in football outside of Virgil van Dijk. Mm-hmm. So very straightforward. And then I'm willing to also give you the left center back of Gabriel. Colwell had a great season, but...
I'm going to say this. So I think Gabriel, if he was fit the whole season, would be Colwell. Colwell played almost every game, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Colwell because Gabriel got hurt at the end of the season and missed out on that chance to shine. I'm just going to say this.
Are we really going to debate each other for the other side's teams?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like...
I'm joking.
Gabriel's the better player, but I think because of the injury record this season, if we're going to do a team of the season,
you're right,
I would give it to Colwell.
I just think with Gabriel's first half season impact overall, like he was borderline one of your top goal scorers, one of your best defenders that first half. He was a superstar, basically.
Yeah, we'll give it to Gabby. I'm good with that.
Okay.
I just want to make a case for the other guy.
Although, again, I love Colwell, guys. Yeah. And we're just trying to be unbiased here as much as possible.
And no offense to Miles Lewis-Skelly. Yes. Cucurella is the best defender on your team. We're going to have to give it to him.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Alrighty, so the way I want to do it for the midfield is I want one center defensive mid, one true center mid, and then our 10, our attacking mid. So with the center defensive mid, it is between Lavia, Caicedo, Rice, Jorginho, my boy, and Mr. Partey himself, the party man.
I'm voting for Rice.
So the thing
I do think that Caicedo is your best person to rank up against him.
I was thinking we could sort of throw them all into one with the true midfielder and the defensive midfielder because we can throw Enzo Fernandez in for the true midfielder as well. I think Rice is the best true midfielder this season out of everybody, so I feel like we should put him in the 8 spot. Okay. And I think the best defensive midfielder was Caicedo.
Okay, I'm good with that. And then now we go on to
the 10.
The Chili Willy Palmer versus Odegaard.
Yes.
I'm giving it to Cole Palmer.
Mr. Cold Man himself. So give me one moment here.
I'm sorry, like last season Odegaard versus Cole Palmer, I would give it to Odegaard. But this season Odegaard, I'm going to give it to Palmer.
Can you imagine a Caicedo-Rice pairing, dude? My God.
It could have happened if Arsenal would have been if you guys hadn't have been like chucking money around like you're drunk sailors.
Like that one summer, I'm with you. Alrighty, so we got Caicedo, Rice, and Palmer as the midfield. We will move into the right wing position. Even if he was out for a while, I'm not going to replace Saka. It is Saka through and through. I don't think there was a right winger nearly as good as the 17 games of Saka over the 38 games of Noni or Neto. So up top, this is the debate, at least in my opinion, because although Kai Havertz played just under half a season.
He got injured in January.
You also have Marino. Nico Jackson was out for several weeks, but he had a very costly red card towards the end of the season. He missed a couple games. Where do you want to go with this one?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to lean in towards Nico simply because he's actually the position he played more games.
Okay.
Because Marino is a Band-Aid. Actually, Marino's not even a Band-Aid. Marino is like you get hurt out in the wild. You don't have any sutures, but you have a gun shell.
Yeah.
And you pour the gunpowder over it and light it on fire to cauterize the wound.
I can agree with that.
Like, if it was Kai's full season against it, I could see a debate we and me could have That's with fair. Nuance. But since Kai only played till January, and then we had, like, you ever seen those people that have the wrong size fuse and they wrap it in tinfoil to make it fit because it's too small? That's what Mourinho was for the last half of the season.
That's true.
Like, keep in mind, guys, like, when people talk shit about Arsenal losing to PSG, we had Mourinho as our striker. Mourinho, the undersized fuse wrapped in aluminum foil, the gunpowder used to cauterize a wound so you won't bleed out and die without medical attention.
Wasn't it like Kivior and Calafiori for one of the games? Yes. One of the two legs as well? Like, come on, guys. Give Arsenal a chance, man. But as for me, just really quickly on Nico, I've seen a lot of the hate that Nico's been getting online. You guys are stupid. Like,
leave him alone.
He's
leave Nico alone.
He's quite literally one of the best nines in the Premier League. He's not the best. He's around top five-ish.
Isn't he 22?
22 years old. He has 16 goals.
Isn't this his second or third full season at a top flight club?
Second full season. The dude's
He played one for Valencia, right?
Not even a full year at Villarreal. He's a very late bloomer.
Sorry, there's two there's two V teams that have similar color schemes.
The thing with Nico is he's such a late he's young, but he's a very late bloomer in football overall. So and he scored 16.
Like Matty Turner.
Yeah, he has 16 goals and assists.
Did we ever discuss Matt Turner having that dog in him and winning an FA Cup?
We did not. Shout out to Matt Turner.
Shout out to Matty Turner.
Nico Jackson had 16 goals and assists in 23 Premier League games. He didn't even play the full season, but because he got a red card, it was a bad red card.
Oh, it was a bad timing. It was a bad red.
Very terrible mistake. But it is a part of life. You make mistakes and you learn from them. Mm-hmm. I do not. Nico Jackson and a signing we'll go over at the end of the show are going to work well together, and I'm very excited as a Chelsea fan. Now let's get into the position that I think both of us are wanting to do a little bit of a pack-a-punch on for next summer, or next season, I should say, and that is the left-wing position. So we got Martinelli, we got Trossard, we've got Jadon Sancho, and we got Neto, who kind of played on both sides. I'm thinking I really like...
This is a really like a shit sandwich of a position.
Yeah, very
average. Because Neto only scored once for you guys, right? It was a screamer against Arsenal.
He also had the winner against Fulham as well. Oh. But either way, I think I want to go with, for some reason, every time I watch you guys, Trossard seems to score. My pick is Trossard, personally. But I understand if you want to go Martinelli or...
No, Trossard. I mean, Martinelli was injured half the year.
Okay. Hey, there you go, goggles.
He started injured, came back, did good, got injured, and then came back.
Yeah, I think that's why we're both like, maybe we could use it the winger for the summer here. But... So with our team of the season, the Lion, the Cannon team of the season for the year of the 2024-25 season, we got David Ryan goal. We got Urien Timber. That's the right one, not Julian. Is that his twin?
Urien.
Okay. Urien Timber, Saliba, Gabriel Cucurella, Caicedo and Rice with Palmer, and then Isaka, Nico, Trossard, front three. That front three needs a pack a bunch. But, guys, that wraps up the segment there for the team of the seasons. Now let's jump into some transfers. Matt, I'm going to throw some shit at a wall here.
Keep in mind, guys, so me and him have been having this debate over things. The transfer window doesn't even open until Monday.
Monday.
And the entire internet is melting down.
So let's start with this one, Matt. We got a Chelsea strike total agreement with Ipswich Town to sign Liam Delap for the $30 million release clause in the 22-year-old striker's contract. And he is due a medical, surprisingly enough, on Monday when June starts, when the windows opens. Yes. Matt, what are your thoughts on this signing?
I think it was a good signing for you. I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of like, I wanted him as a junior striker to underscore the guy we're going to get. Yep. And I know Newcastle wanted him for that too. So they could sell Isak for a fortune, see if it works out. He was seen as the value signing because of his, release clause due to relegation.
Yep. 12 goals in the season for a team that's being relegated. I think that's a great output. And I agree. It's just Arsenal's in a different phase of their rebuild where they're looking for that final product. Chelsea is allowed to make one mistake more before they really have to lock in for, I'd say, a title run. And I think Delap and, like I said, with Nico, two young strikers competing with one another is only going to help them. So this was who I wanted as my striker for the summer. This was not Matt. So good for both of us here.
Good for you, Matt.
Next up, we got breaking. Real Madrid reach agreement with Liverpool to sign Trent a little bit early so they can get him for the Club World Cup. They're paying $10 million guaranteed plus one payment of £850,000.
His salary.
Pounds?
Yeah, pounds.
Pounds. And yeah, to save the salary. So it's a 6-year deal. Matt, we knew this was coming. It was inevitable as he was getting booed off a couple weeks ago. He got a clap on towards the end of the game. In the last game of the season.
Yeah, we watched it. It was on one of the screens.
Yes, one of our six screens.
Yeah, that was a trip, man.
But we knew this was coming. I didn't realize how important these clubs were taking the Club World Cup until...
money?
Yeah, until we talked about sort of the financial benefit that comes from this tournament.
It's winning the Premier League level money if you win it.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy for a tournament in the middle of June, guys. This is supposed to be like international chill time. We're now throwing in another serious tournament a month. So you're really only giving these players a month of rest before they go right back into Premier League football. Or just competitive football, I should say. Crazy. Next up here, we have Liverpool submit offer to sign Florian Wirtz from Bayer Leverkusen. And this is the Ornstein, so we know it's a reliable source. That's the only reason why I'm reporting
Fabrizio has backed it up as well.
Yes, thank you. Worth up to £130 million, an improved second bid with the top-end amount, potential add-ons as well. The playmaker is keen to join. Matt, what are your thoughts on this signing, if they end up getting him?
If they end up pulling it off, I think it... I don't know, man. It's just kind of like this the debate we've been having over the Arsenal striker. I think he's a great player. I just don't know if Liverpool need him.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about.
I don't want to say surplus to requirement because I know they'll get it, but it could be like that Gravenberch signing where he hits like in 2 years.
Yep.
When the time is right for him to go. And that's why, as an Arsenal fan, I'm jealous of teams like City and Liverpool and Chelsea, because they have this deep reservoir they can pull people from because they've spent the money on them, and they can have a guy like a Wirtz sit on a bench for a year and not use him if they don't want to.
My thing, and we were talking about this in a totally different light before the recording. I was more so venting about Klopp lying to the public about how Newcastle and Chelsea spend their money, but Liverpool are so, you know, cap end and they have all these limitations. You guys have the highest wage structure in the league, and you've just put in a bid for £130 million. I digress, Matt. The point is this team has a lot of midfielders, attacking midfielders, mm-hmm. with Szoboszlai.
They remind me of Wenger Arsenal.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot of players. So I'm interested to see how he fits in the team.
The Swiss Army knife of midfields.
Indeed. So we'll see if Slot maybe doing a little bit of a tactical change with the team. Now that Trent's gone, maybe looking for an additional player to sort of give him that space. But, Matt, we have another here we go. We have Jeremy Frimpong, also from Bayer Leverkusen, who is joining Liverpool on a...
What is poor Ten Hag going to have to play with? He's just going to have a ton of money, right?
An abundance of money, yes. I'm building a project again here. That's all I can hear. $30 million for Frimpong to join Liverpool. This was the direct replacement for Trent. Very, very attacking right back. Sort of the same qualities that Trent has. Not crossing ability, but more so just attacking IQ in general. He also is very fast, but I would say his weakness, much like Trent, is defensive. So still going to have the heavy responsibility on Konate to sort of cover that space, you know, for example, or Kwanzaa. But Matt, thoughts on Frimpong? Ideal replacement.
I really don't even know what to say. Like, he's the closest thing to Trent, I think, that's out there that's available for purchase.
I agree.
I mean, when the news came out that Trent was sold, the first response I read was, oh, I guess Liverpool are going for Frimpong mm-hmm. in the summer. That was literally, it was, what a rat, I hate him, I guess Liverpool are going for Frimpong in the summer. That was the order of Instagram comments I saw.
Now, Matt, just the last one here, just so we can talk about it. This is not a certified rumor, but the
certified banger.
Yes, the general transfer people seem to agree that it looks like Arsenal have begun talks with RB Leipzig for Benjamin Sesko, with a pretty hefty fee involved, which is we're not too sure yet of the million. Range. Yeah,
that's just too much, man.
Unconfirmed. We're not too sure how confident that number is. But Matt, if Sesko is the guy they choose and they do spend in that 70 to 100 range, what are your thoughts on that possible arrival?
It depends on, we have to bring in other attackers. Mm-hmm. We can't have him be our only one because, like, I'm going to be honest with you. You tried to talk me down from the ledge this week because I'm not happy if this, if we didn't bring anyone in the winter when we could have gone for a Champions League, which I don't really think was realistic based off of the PSG team.
PSG ended up did scoring again, by the way, before the end of the game.
5-0.
Ended 5-0.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, but we didn't know who we were going to face going into it, and we were in the position to do it, and we didn't bring anyone in. And then we're going to bring in an untested 22-year-old by the time he signs because he turns 22 during the window.
Yep.
And I mean, no disrespect to people that are young. I know your government age is closer to that than mine, but I need to see the whole window. Like the problem is that, we're being linked to Sané. Yeah. We're being linked to this guy, but we don't know what the other pieces are that are going to fall. If Arsenal bring in five players and it's guys, I'm just throwing a name out there, Mbeumo or Rodrigo, with this guy, with Sesko, with Zubimendi, with Sané, and then another, we're going to get a goalkeeper and a defender. Let's say they bring in six players. I don't think that's a bad window. That's a good window.
It's a great
but if
window.
It's just Sesko and the goalkeeper, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I haven't watched much of Sesko. I watched a little bit.
I've only watched the highlight reels, and they look great, but then I've also watched the fail reels, and they look horrible.
And that's the thing with social media is they watch clips. People watch clips of a player from a different team, and they automatically think he's better than the player you have now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always the grass is greener than your side.
But they don't watch full 90-minute games as like they would their own team of this one player because they're not as interested in those teams. They don't care about those teams.
Yeah.
But they see highlight clips, and this is the one problem with Chelsea is they love what they. All these weird fans want Osimhen to join. The guy's been playing at Galatasaray for the last 6 months, 7 months of the season. Why would you want him?
The man's radioactive. I wouldn't take him if I were you.
Gosh. But just back to your point, like I agree. If you get Sesko and you get a winger and you get
if we get Sesko and Rodrigo, I don't think it's going to happen. But you get Sesko and Rodrigo, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah. If you get Sesko and Rodrigo and nobody else, I think that's a fantastic winger.
Yeah. But, well, Arteta will have to sign a £1 million transfer Brazilian center back from a team that I've never heard of, and he'll count.
It'll end up being as just like Gabrielle or something.
Yeah.
But, not too much transfer news as of yet, guys. Cunha joined United, as we talked about a couple
weeks
ago.
Because the window isn't officially open yet. Everyone's freaking out. And I just realized, I was just like, guys, I had to quit Instagram, kind of go an hour a day, because everything is designed to irritate me now. I've fallen into the algorithm of every single video I watch is from a Liverpool or a Chelsea fan ribbing me. And transfers where it's like Arsenal signed Garnacho, and I'm like, 1 second, let me take a breath here. Let me go. Of course, this is a lie.
Yes,
because Garnacho is in Asia right now, playing in winning the Education is Important Cup.
You'll send me like a video of like you send me a video of Bostakaku wearing an Arsenal jersey.
Yeah, thank you for telling me that was fake.
Like, dude, that is the most not real thing I've ever seen in my life.
I didn't catch reacted emotionally.
I gotta keep you at bay sometimes with these. And it's like, but that's the problem with social media, is they'll just do anything for clicks. And now you have all these transfer analysts who are just, you know, making up all these lies, and they're believable for some reason.
That guy sends you, who's an Arsenal fan, who will say like, my sources tell me we're getting somebody incredible. And I'm like, No, we're not. What are you talking about?
I can't believe it. But guys,
It was Nico Williams last year. It's like, my little birds have told me. You don't, like, in the cage, do you have them in another room? Like, do you have parrots that we don't know about, pal? Because, like, you're not making any sense here.
But once Monday hits, as the window officially opens, at least for the Club World Cup teams, I think there's going to be a lot of movement between those. I think Inter's a team that we may see a lot, make a lot of moves now that they've took a pretty massive hit today.
Is PSG going to this tournament?
Yes, they're in the tournament. Okay. So we'll see what happens with the Club World Cup teams. But this will also be a priority for the other teams not in the Club World Cup to also make swift moves as well.
You just got to make it to the final eight, man.
As a football fan, I love when teams get their business done early. And that's something, for example, you guys have done really well.
Every season since Arteta's been here except for last season.
Yep. They had the Calafiori thing. And
the Calafiori thing. And the,
but it was the World Cup or the Euros that sort of messed it up. But yeah, that's one thing I respect about Arsenal is you guys get your business done early, gives them time to gel with the team, be in preseason. Chelsea has sucked with that over the last, you know, two or three windows. So, Matt, did you have anything else, sir, that you wanted to touch base on?
Sterling, thank you for your time.
Actually, I saw his 9-year-old son started a sign for the Arsenal Youth Academy today. You guys don't want to separate a father and his son. I think you should go for Sterling. Get in a bid. You know, you don't even need to play him.
If he'll take the league minimum and no transfer fee, sure. He can hang out. He can fill Jorginho's role as the coach. He can go hang out with Per Mertesacker at the youth academy.
You don't want to separate a father and his child.
No, I don't. What's great is he plays for Chelsea, and he can get there by car in under 15 minutes. If there's no traffic. You can get there by the tube in probably 15 to 20. It's great. It's good living in a city with good public transportation, Reese.
That's true. That's true.
Which we don't.
Yeah, we have very poor transportation here. I will say, though.
The light rail is expanding. They finally have two routes. You don't just get across the whole thing at one time now.
Did not know that.
Yeah. I went to a public meeting about it. I'm curious. I take the light rail. I drive down to the Central and Camelback station. Sometimes take it when I go to Mercury or baseball games with my dad. Mm-hmm. I want to go park. I got my Metro card from my job. I get a discount on it.
From ours,
yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, because like a carpool program type of thing? Okay. That's cool. But
they give me a discount. I get 20% off, and I have the thing on, so anything I buy, I get 20% off in the business supplements estate.
That's cool.
The city. So,
but Raheem Sterling, we'll see you at Fulham next season, my friend. We'll throw you over there. Fulham, send us $8 million.
Yeah, don't separate a father and son. You know what's great about Fulham? You can walk to it from Stamford Bridge.
It's too late. His son's already signed to the Arsenal Youth Academy.
But again, 15 minutes by train, 20 by driver.
Wait. The Arsenal women just won the Champions League actually recently.
Yeah, didn't we discuss that?
Get Raz onto that squad there. I'm sure he'd be fantastic. Guys, we are going to be out next weekend because we need a
mental health break, guys.
Yes, a little 1 week break, but we will be back for some Club World Cup review or preview, I should say, and also the transfer rumors, which we'll be doing all summer.
Oh, and shout out. We got some listeners from Israel. We have multiple listeners from Israel. Shalom and welcome.
Hello, guys. But overall, this was a great season for football. Had some very dodgy points with reffing at the beginning of the season, I would say. But it looks like they cleaned up. So hopefully that continues to improve. Semi-automated offside was, I think, a great addition. So the league looks in a good direction. The quality is going to continue to improve. There's no more big six. It's a big 10, hopefully, next season, Matt. That's what I want. I want 10-1 to be in a title race where we're all just dogs fighting for it. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I'm tired. It's been a long season. Please, Mikel, make my dreams come true.
Matt, close us out, my friend.
All right, live long and watch some football. And Miguel, or Mikel.
Mikel.
Make the dreams come true.
And some Prescott.
Oh, Los Taquitos, thank you.